Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. I was listening to my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott, this last week. And in his teaching, he pulled out what was to me a wonderful nugget that sparkle in the gemstone of God, His Word, which held in a certain light, gives brilliance to the source. And the source we're talking about is God's Word. We need a little lesson in grammar today. And my hope is that when we're finished, this light that we at the God School are attempting to shine on God's Word may become even a little more brilliant to the hearers, because as it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul says in the 16th verse of the first chapter of Romans, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone," proper translation, that's faithing, to the Jew first and to the Greek, "for therein," that is, in the gospel of Christ, "is a righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Now, we're going to get into a little language and we're going to get into a little grammar today. English translation doesn't quite give full meaning to what is being said in the Greek. The Greek reads, for that portion translated from faith to faith, ek, from, pistios, faith, eis, to, piston, faith. Let's look at the grammar. It says, from faith, pisteos. The word is in the genitive. It is that which is being generated. The source of the generation is the one faithing. The word says, to every man, a measure of faith is given. That means nobody's excluded, but the ones who are included are the ones generating that faith. And what is faith? Faith is action based upon a belief sustained by confidence. That's the definition. We're not talking about religious meaning at the moment. We're just talking about the definition of the Greek word pisteos. But God who took upon himself flesh and blood and became kin with us, that's Jesus, reached into the language that dominated the world at that time, and he pulled that word out of the language and he made it his. Action based upon belief, sustained by confidence. When we generate faith, it says ek pisteos, eis, meaning to, pisten. You can, just by hearing, you could tell it's a different form of the word. In the grammar, the word pisten is in the accusative. When you have a word in the accusative case, the understanding is it is being done to. Being done on. It's not the generator of faith. It is, if you will, as a result of faith, more faith is given. It's in the accusative. Now, the gem, as pointed out through Dr. Scott's most wonderful teaching, begins to be found in the 9th verse of the 7th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. King James reads, and it's the last portion of the verse, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. The Hebrew is lo te aminu kai lo te amenu. Now, I'm not aware of any grammarians in the circle that we call the God School, in the assembly that we call the God School. But I'd like you to hear. First of all, we have that word in the Hebrew, ta haminu. And to those of you who have been around a while, you can hear in the midst of that word, that A-M-N word, Hebrew, amen. And you can here in the second, wherein it's translated, you shall not be established, te ha menu. Again, we have that word, amen. Oftentimes we have claimed that name of God, which is translated, God is faithful. We've translated that the Amen God. And in this Bible, which we call the Word of God, God revealing Himself to us, God is the great Amener. He has no doubts. Jesus was a great Amener. He had no doubts that what God had promised, if He would do what He did, that God would raise Him up. We read in that Twenty-second verse, I believe it is. Let me go to it quickly. Of the third chapter of Romans, it says, even and again, there's no definite article. It says, even a righteousness of God, which is by and it should properly translate it, by the faith of Jesus Christ if we had a Arabic or a Syriac or an Aramaic translation, it would read, which is by the Amen of Jesus Christ. And again, through Dr. Scott's teaching, the best definition I've ever come across is for the word amen is no doubt. No doubt. Jesus had no doubt that God would raise Him up. God had no doubt when He spoke the worlds into existence. When He said, light be, He had no doubt that it would be light. Now, this verse in Isaiah 7:9 says, lo ta haminu. In the teaching from the book of, Hosea, in that first chapter, we see two of Hosea's children. They're named Lo Ami, which means when you put Lo in front of a word, it means not. And in that case, it's Lo Ami, not my people. And the other child was named Lo Ruhama, not having my mercy. Here in this verse, we have Lo Te Hamenu, Lo Te Hamenu. Here's the grammar part. In the first, I'm cutting through the Hebrew. In the first amen, it's causative. It is that which is generated from within. In the second amen, which is translated by the King James, established, it's in the niphal form of the verb, which is passive. The subject is doing nothing. Much like the piston in Romans 1:17. The subject is receiving. Here, the subject is not receiving. In the 26 translations, it says, Moffat says, if your faith does not hold, you will never hold out. Another translation says, if you do not hold fast, surely you shall not stand fast. Another translation says, if you do not have firm confidence, you surely shall not abide firmly. Another translation says, unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. That's the negative witness in God's word in the Old Testament. And we have taught before, we have taught here before, of one old father, the church said, if I can't find it in the Old Testament, I won't teach it in the New. There's one witness to the greater light that should be shed on this verse of Romans 1:17, from faith to faith, ekpistios eis piston. Let's look at a second witness. Second Chronicles, 20th chapter, 20th verse. Now, just so you know, chronologically, that which was said and written by Isaiah, even though in the Bible, Isaiah comes after 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles was written after the book of Isaiah. Maybe 350 years after. And Jehoshaphat, in this 2 Chronicles 20 story, is facing a dilemma. And speaks to the people of Judah who were being terrified by the enemy, by an enemy. And boy, Judah had plenty, Israel had plenty, we have plenty. And he opens his speech and says, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, King James translation, believe in the Lord your God, So shall ye be established. The Hebrew is ha eminu, Yahweh, Elohim, we ke ha menu. Same grammar as found in that seventh chapter of Isaiah. Only this time, it is not in the negative, but it's in the positive. Again, we find this word in the midst of the Hebrew amen. No doubt, it is in the niphal. It is in the causative. If we were translating from the Greek, it's in the genitive. And it says, amen, Yahweh, the Lord, your God. Translation, so shall ye be established. What's being said here is, if you amen, you shall be amened. To be amen of God. That's what the word is saying. It also goes on to say, believe his prophets. Translation, believe his prophets, King James, so shall ye prosper. Amen, his prophets. That is, the foretellers of truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Amen, his prophets. I'm not going to say that the last part of this verse is wrong. It says, amen, his prophets, so shall ye prosper. But a better translation, I believe, is so shall ye advance. If we are amening, we shall be amened. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God gave gifts to the church that his people might hear his word, that faith might come. And as we continue in faith, and as our faith is being added to by God, we advance. The New Testament calls this way ever-increasing faith. increasing. Faith. And the scripture is clear that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by acting on the promises of God. I want to pull out a wonderful promise of God. We'll go to the third chapter of the book of Colossians. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and set your affections, your mind, on things above, and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead," Paul says in the second chapter of Galatians, it says, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Therefore, Paul in Colossians says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Stay faithing, and God, the great amener, will amen you. And we all shall appear with Christ in glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Be ye thankful. That's the God School for today.